Anyways, we're going to call this the warm-up amble, because I'm out of practice.
Okay. Yeah, it's been a while.
Mm-hmm. So let's just dive right into it, man, and I'm going to say that Indestructible Hulk number 6 was amazing, simply because Hulk picked up Thor's hammer. Spoiler.
Wait, what?
Yeah, you heard me.
He did?
He did.
Yep. Oh, fucking hell.
Okay, here's the story. So, apparently Thor had given a piece of the Uru hammer to S.H.I.E.L.D. to study. And then S.H.I.E.L.D. gave it to Banner to make a gizmo out of. And he made a teleportation device that would take him into Asgard. But I think what happened was it took him back in time. Because when Thor shows up, he doesn't even recognize Bruce. And Bruce is like, you don't recognize me? He's like, what's with the old school clothes? And then, you know, the Frost Giants show up and the fight ensues. And Thor gets knocked into the boonies and he drops his hammer and Hulk's like, fuck it, I'm going to try it one more time. And by the end of it, he picks it up, man. And I was like, holy shit.
No.
I think it's before Odin puts the words on it, you know? That's my guess.
The worthy thing,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, because
it still ends pretty often as it does shout. So it lifts up the hammer from Hulk worthy.
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
You read it. I go, oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't know. That's me gushing about my favorite character there. That I've been waiting for this moment in Wade's run, to be honest, and it was worth it.
It's the
Wade worthy.
It's the issue drawn by Walt Simonson, isn't it?
Sure is.
Isn't he doing the next star? Yeah. Mm.
It was very good.
You know, just before when he did Avengers, and I really couldn't stand it, but in this case, I actually did enjoy it. I don't know what it is. I think it's mainly the faces. They just annoy me more than they probably should.
It's quite an old school art style, isn't it? Like, he's not really changed his art much since, like, the 80s.
Not at all. No, but I think that's the attraction for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I've heard on stories on Twitter that a lot of shops sold out of Hulk number 6 just simply because of his art. Like, older guys were coming in and scooping him up. I was like, wow, that's dedication. Like, I know... Sorry, go ahead.
No, you go first, I reckon.
I know when I was a little kid, man, and I was into Thor and that, Simonson was huge, and he was the guy. Like, nobody else drew Thor. Nobody cared if anybody else drew Thor. But then he just kind of, I don't know, he disappeared after a while. And
I think he might have gone doing some animation or some shit. That's what they usually do, isn't it, artists, when they leave comics and then... They always come back to comics eventually. Mm-hmm.
People miss them.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, cool. You guys got one you want to hammer out? That's my review, by the way. Nice and simple.
I'll go Superior Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
Number 7. You know, the main thing that was bugging me the whole time is constantly having to see that Ghost Peter just overexposed. Oh, it's like every other page. Yeah. And then you had, I think it was number 5, and he was barely in it, but when he was, it was cool. Those moments, they actually brought it home. But in this one, in 7, I was every page, and he's just crying and moaning. Oh,
well, he wants his body back, so.
Yeah, but he's just like, stop moaning. Oh, you're ruining my body.
Peter moans when he's in his own body, and he's like, married and shit, he still finds something to moan about, because that's what Peter Parker does.
I think it was in number 5 where Otto's on that date with that teacher, and he starts moaning that he's eating cake and he's ruining his body. It's just ridiculous.
He gets that from Mary Jane. I enjoyed it too, especially the end. That book.
Oh, yeah, the last page.
The book should have been double size, man. You can't leave a cliffhanger like that. Come on.
I just find it funny how the Avengers are actually just crying about him beating other people up, especially when they've got Wolverine on their team.
True.
The person who takes pride out of being the best at killing.
Mm-hmm.
But Peter just makes sure that the bad guys can't come back out, because they will eventually break out, and he's the bad guy.
Good point.
Well, they expect it from Wolverine, don't they? That's why Cap has him on the team. It's just they decided to notice Spider-Man acting out of character, because someone had to eventually.
It took long enough.
Well, they are kind of like slightly mentioning it in like Avenging Spider-Man, but
especially the Thor team up, right?
I just find it funny that in the last issue it had Thor complaining about Spider-Man's ignorance and how he's all big-headed and everything. But
he was rude.
He warned him. He warned him like 3 times. Electro is coming to get you. Be warned. He's like, nah, bro. I'm all right. Electro is nothing to me. Obviously. No.
Thor's like
that. I want Thor to say bro. I want Thor to say bro sooner or later.
I think Thor's like that, though, because even in the Punisher Civil... what is it? The last part of Rucka's Punisher run, where the Avengers go after Frank. Like, I think it's an issue 2. Thor goes after him by himself, and he's like, just so you know. And he kind of gives him a chance. He's like, we're coming to kick your ass, so you better straighten up, man. And I was like, what? What? Thor? You could have taken him down. Well, I guess he didn't.
Well, when you have it Thor, Punisher against the Avengers, and they've got someone like Thor, if they really wanted to, he'd just get destroyed.
Yeah,
but then again, Avengers don't kill.
I think it's a warrior code with Thor, though. Do you know what I mean? He sees Frank as more of a warrior.
Didn't that Punisher and Thor thing end up with them like both in the bar just drinking beer and stuff? Is that how it ended?
I can't remember. I know that Punisher scooped
Wolverine.
Him. Yes,
Wolverine.
Yeah, Wolverine kept warning him too. They were like, "Stop it, man! Stop telling him that we're
Wolverine
coming."
Wolverine was refusing. Yeah. Wolverine just wanted to do whatever he wanted.
Yeah.
Basically.
That was a good ending to Rucka's run. I was impressed. Anyways, that went right off of Spider-Man real fast. Yes, good issue. I very much enjoyed it. I guess that makes it your turn, Anthony.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about a Dark Horse comic. A BPRD, actually,
nice.
From the Hellboy franchise, which I think this is actually the first Hellboy-related comic I've ever read. And the reason I picked it up is because it's got artwork by Gabriel Barr and Fabio Moon, who are the artists on Casanova, and they did a mini called Day Tripper at Vertigo. And
are they the Umbrella Academy guys too?
Yeah, I think Gabriel Barr did the Umbrella Academy. I'm not sure if Fabio Moon did. I've not read that yet. I do want to. The thing with this book is it looks really nice. Like, it's a really pretty book, but it's very light on the story. Like, I think it's about this dude who's basically going to go hunting vampires, but that with it being the first issue, that's really all I got, because it's just got some... it's just, like, light on the story. But I picked it up for the art, and I enjoyed the art in it, so I was satisfied by the end of it. I don't know if I'm going to buy issue 2 or not, though. I'll have to see.
Just because you're not familiar with the story, or what?
Well,
because BPRD is maybe the people who work for the commission or whatever.
Yeah, it's the Bureau for Paranormal Research and Defense, right. Which is like the whole thing that Hellboy is a part of, or something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Good comic, though.
I always want to check out Hellboy stuff. I just never get around to it. I don't. Yeah. I'm lazy. Okay, well, that was short and sweet. That reminds me. Well, like, I mean, what was a good first issue that I read recently that I thought was a good starter issue for anybody who doesn't know anything? And that would be Thanos Rising.
Oh, yeah, I read that.
There's a lot of guys on the a lot of Marvel fan guys that I know on Twitter are eating it up because they don't know much about Thanos besides Infinity Gauntlet, and they never followed the DNA cosmic stuff. So they're all jumping on the bandwagon for Guardians of the Galaxy. And I thought it was a really good issue. Like, I mean, it introduced quite well to a very young Thanos. And the art was all right. For Simon Bianchi, I can't say his name.
Yeah, I'm not that keen on his art. That's what, I wasn't going to read it, actually, because he was the artist on it. But then I checked it out on my iPad. I didn't buy it in print, and it was pretty good. I liked how when he's, like, in school, like, school kid Thanos is wearing the exact same as what, like, adult Thanos is wearing. It's, like, it's the same costume, always, isn't it?
Because the style is timeless.
True. I don't know. His art is a lot better than it was on the Wolverine stuff, I'll tell you that. Very much more clear as to what was happening, especially with that last page with the little bit of action there was there, compared to the Wolverine stuff. I don't know. I thought it was really good. And it is a very good, like, it's a good hopping on spot, man, if you don't know nothing about Thanos. And I think it's going to surprise us because it's Jason Aaron.
Hey, look. Yeah, I'm a bit undecided on whether I'm going to get issue two. I thought it was, you know, like, all right, but it's one of those things. Am I really meant to feel sympathetic for Thanos at any point?
Right. I did. As I was reading, I'm like, why is he? Well, he seems so passive, you know. And then
yeah, but it's going to be one. Oh, but then these mean people said something about me, so I'll go be evil forever now. Where?
Could be. Then he'll wipe out 3/4 of the universe.
Well, there you go. Just to get back.
Hey, well, anyways, it's a secret origin, right? I guess you kind of got to have interest in that. I've always
sometimes
enjoyed that stuff.
Sometimes secret origins are best left secret.
Sometimes, yes. Wolverine.
Yeah. That was a thing that happened.
But, you know, and I got to say, the parallel between the Thanos Rising number one and Thor God of Thunder number 6, where they give they kind of do the same, well, not the same, but in one issue he does the origin of the God Killer.
Yeah, I think I've read that as well.
And I could see the parallels between the two, you know, because they start off youthful and you can see how this guy's attitude changes over time through sheer anger and rage. Anyways, that's another good book.
Yeah, Eric, you were saying about people jumping on with all the new cosmic stuff. I'm actually one of those people who's like not really read much Marvel Cosmic before, and I checked out Thanos and I really enjoyed that.
Right.
And I'm enjoying Nova as well, actually.
Yeah,
surprisingly.
Me too. I don't think Kyle was though. I think you had a comment or two I read on the Twitter.
Probably. I think it's, again, it's just one of those stupid things. It's kind of ridiculous how just. No, but Sam Alexander, who Nova, whatever you want to call him, he's a bit of a brat regardless.
Truth.
He's got, he's pretty cool. He's got that, like, oh, he's finally learned figuring out these powers. Oh, it's that, like, sense of discovery when he first puts on the helmet. But apart from that, he's just a whiny little brat. And then it's like, wherever he lives is in some sort of weird bubble to where a talking raccoon and a giant green alien is, for some reason, completely, alien, for lack of a better term. And you've got Skrulls invading, you got a Phoenix Force, and everything like that. Well, I did enjoy the art by McGuinness, for the most part, especially, you know, when he's just showing him flying off.
Yeah.
I think the art suits him better on this book than it did on Hulk, to be honest. He draws dudes too bulky, in my opinion. I enjoyed the book. I think, because I'm a Richard Rider fan, and I want to know how the fuck Thanos got out of that cancer riff. I want to know how Peter Quill got out of the cancer riff, and why the fuck.
But not Richard.
Yeah, what the fuck, man? Yeah, let's make this new kid. Okay, I get that. I get the appeal of starting with somebody punkish like that, you know, taking a Spider-Man like layout pattern or whatever, basically, and doing it on a cosmic level and more contemporary. So I'm kind of along for the ride. Also because, you know, what the hell? One day they're going to say something about Richard Rider, because even in Guardians of the Galaxy, they reference Peter Quill leaving the Cancerverse, right? Yeah. Did you guys read that?
I think so. I might have missed that bit, though, because I was too busy.
It's like a one panel.
Golfing at a horse, what it is. Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's like one little panel blurb where they talk about
Was that in Annihilation or in the Thanos Imperative?
The Thanos Imperative, when they died.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
I enjoyed that whole old DNA cosmic run, and I'm glad that they're not ignoring it. That was my biggest fear, is they were going to ignore all that. And, yeah, okay, went on a tangent again.
I think it's a little strange that people are, like, treating it like it's some big mystery why they're using this Sam Alexander as Nova, when they've got a TV show. Granted,
and he's on.
We're not mainly the demographic for that new Spider-Man show, which I am now done with. I was done after the first. I enjoyed the first series. I was a defender for the first series. I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. But then series two, and there's only so many times I can hear them go on about how much they've got to work as a team before I want to kill someone.
Yeah, it's the contemporary version of Spider-Man and his amazing friends. I enjoy the shit out of it. I know it's not built for me, but it makes me laugh. I enjoyed it. I don't know. My kid will watch it with me, which is, you know, she's only 4. If it gets her attention, that's a good sign. Because I think it is directed mostly at the little kids. Somebody's got to start somewhere.
It is, yeah.
And a lot of people started in cartoons. Like, look at Earl. Mm. That's how he started, right? Spider-Man, X-Men cartoons, Batman cartoons. That's
how I started as well.
There you go.
So.
Yep. There you go. Superman the movie over here. That's what got me into it. Okay, so... Right. Nova. Nova rocks. Where are we at?
Since we're still talking about Cosmic, go back to Guardians of the Galaxy.
Sure. Steve McNiven, my Canadian brother. He could draw.
Yeah, and he'll be gone in an issue because what's the name's doing it?
Sarah Pichelli.
Really?
Yeah. So, really, did anyone expect McNiven to be doing it for that long?
I didn't think he could. I thought maybe they gave him a year head start.
But at least, on the upside, at least it's Pichelli, and her art is amazing.
Really?
Yeah, you could do a lot worse than Sarah Pichelli.
I guess that's true, yeah. Is she still drawing Ultimate Spider-Man?
At the moment, on this arc, she is doing this arc, Venom War, is it called? Something like that? I don't know. I've been reading it. It's only so much you can take of Miles' life sucking, but yeah, she's still doing this arc, but I think Marquez is back on.
Well,
after that.
Okay, well, that leads up to, like, everybody knows the news about Angela, Todd McFarlane, Neil Gaiman.
I have no idea who that character is.
You don't know who Angela is? Oh my god, you guys are so young. Yeah, back in the 90s, there was this comic called Spawn, and everybody was buying it, except for you guys.
Yeah.
apparently they're going to use her in this. She's going to appear in Guardians of the Galaxy number 5 or something like that, and the end of Age of Ultron. I don't know how this is going to sync up, but...
I don't get it, because as soon as they use her in a Marvel comic, don't Marvel then own the character?
Neil
Gaiman?
He owns her. Maybe he licensed it to Marvel? Or maybe he straight out sold it out of spite. I mean, that would make sense to me. Because
I know he had a whole legal thing with Todd McFarlane, didn't he?
Yeah.
Over getting the rights to her.
Dave even talked to Todd about it. He's like, there's nothing I can do about it. It's his now. I was like, oh my, he got burned. But he was a dick, so... Well,
he's probably going to create a very similar character to appear in Spawn.
He did that already, and he got in trouble.
Oh, okay.
He did a new. Okay, what it is they're a Spawn hunter. They're angels from heaven, and they hunt Spawn to keep the balance correct. or something like that. I don't know, man. It's been a few years. But I know in the original series, it's very bizarre when she first appears, because it's kind of the first time you see medieval Spawn, and then Spawn, he beats her up, man. Like, oh, fuck, this is hard to explain. He touches her staff, and it destroys him, and then he wakes up, and Cerebrus is walking him through a dream state. So basically, he died, but he didn't die because the writers dubbed it so, or deemed it so. It's very bizarre. But then all that trouble started coming on with Neil and Todd, and so they kind of stopped using Angela because, you know, he had a credit for the creator rights. So he made a new character called Tiffany, and I remember reading somewhere that they even pointed that out, that it was just a ripoff of the Angela character anyways. But anyways, yeah, I don't know how or why Angela fits in with the Cosmos section of the Marvel Universe. Why? Because she's an agent of heaven? Are they going to really play up the heaven and hell part now? Because if you look at the Marvel Hellverse, there's like, how many devils? 50? You know, one for every...
Pretty sure most of them are turning up in the Venom series at the moment now.
Oh, really?
Which I'm not reading anymore, but... Me
neither. Oh, I dropped that ages ago.
Once, I tried a couple issues with... who's the writer? Cullen Bunn. I was like, nope, not reading this anymore. But they were building up to some story with, because Flash has been possessed by a demon, and there's some sort of hell rubbish coming up.
I wonder if that's from the Circle of Four stuff.
Yeah, it's being built off that, but it's because he never got it removed from there.
Right.
But then it got awakened, and then something else happened. But I'm not reading so.
I kind of wish I did still read that. I'm a fan of Cullen Bunn.
I don't get it. I don't get why. All power to him. If he's getting as much work as he can handle, it's all good for him, but I don't understand why.
The Sixth Gun. That's...
Yeah, I've read the first three volumes of The Sixth Gun, and it is pretty good.
Oh, it's awesome, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, man. The last issue was phenomenal. Like, when I was done it, I put it down, and I tweeted Cullen Bunn. I'm like, this is Preacher-level greatness. I have to start over and reread it from number one. He was like, that's some high praise. And I was like, I know. If you're familiar with Preacher, because that's a nice run.
It's another 90s comic that I haven't read. I got the Comixology had a sale on The Sixth Gun. It's like a year ago or something now. Mm-hmm. And I got the first three volumes because they were the only trades that were on offer. And I read them. And they're pretty good.
Not bad for a Western, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't feel like...
I haven't read... I've not read any of his Marvel stuff, though. Just because...
Pass it. Don't bother. He's doing for some reason they keep giving him Deadpool. I read that Deadpool kills the Marvel Universe.
That one I enjoyed.
the first two issues were okay. I enjoyed the second one, I think it was. But then the rest, it was just... it was just intolerable. Because I don't like Deadpool as it is. But if you can't... let me put it a different way. People use him cheaply. They think that if they make stupid jokes and just swear a lot, then that's good enough. And that's what bugs me about people who rave about how great and you can't take him seriously and all that. But a good book is a good book. A funny character is a funny character. And if he's not funny, I just don't see the point.
Right. Well, that Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe, he wasn't funny. No. You know what I mean? Like, they did something to him and he breaks. All his voices coalesced into one or something. I'm not sure exactly. That's why I enjoyed it, because it made him out to be more villainous than comedic.
Yeah, I think he's doing another miniseries, Deadpool versus Deadpool. There's one coming up, Deadpool versus Deadpool. I can't remember what it's about.
He's doing
that. I think it comes out of Kills the Marvel Universe as well.
Well, there's a
Deadpool versus Deadpool. I wonder what it is. I wonder what that's going to involve.
They're doing that Killustrated right now, right? Where he's like going through time and killing great writers or something. I don't know. I've skipped that one. Like, whatever.
Because it's really much of a difference from him just going and killing zombie presidents in the new series. Very creative, because that's all he ever bloody does.
I saw that Killustrated's advertised in the Marvel books, and the April June is like a Christmas Carol issue, and I'm like, in April, a Christmas Carol issue? What? That doesn't really make much sense.
Timing's a little off, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, I'm not a big Deadpool fan either. I know that, like, I'm a fan of Brian Posehn. He's a comedian, and he likes heavy metal. But other than that, I it's too bad he's writing Deadpool, or I'd check it out. I'm just not a Deadpool fan. Never have been.
I could go on forever, because I've had people actually start complaining to me on Tumblr, because I just sometimes I used to just get off on one, just attack Deadpool. Just because well, I'm not going to do it now.
I used to do that with Batman. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, Batman is Batman. Yeah. Deadpool is a knockoff of another character, and he just has a fan base that makes no sense for the most part.
It's the Rob Liefeld army. Look out, they'll run you over.
Oh yeah, don't look on the wrong side of them.
No, so just I saw one of the ones that he knocked off a couple of days ago. It wasn't anything recent, but there's an article I'll find later, though, where they show is Captain America when he was doing that abomination with the gigantic chest that made no sense. And then he has one, Agent America, and I kid you not, it is the same bloody thing. It's not under Marvel or anything, but my God, it's ridiculous. he shouldn't sue him for everything just for that. Because it's not even like creative freedom, it is just reskinning someone.
Okay, like you mean like the new Batwing? Do you guys?
Batwing's over my head now.
You don't read Batwing? I don't know. I figured I'd check it out.
I don't read Batwing either.
Neither do I. I'm not a very big Batman fan, but I know that Jimmy Palmiotti was on this issue 19 and they're introducing a new guy. And pretty good introductory issue for a Batman comic. I still can't get over this Batman Incorporated bullshit. Don't give me that.
Doesn't he basically wear a Batman Beyond costume?
It does. It does look like a Batman Beyond costume, except it's blue instead of red.
Oh, creative.
And apparently it's a Lucius Fox son. Yeah, I didn't even know the guy had a kid. So I thought that was interesting. But, I mean, I still can't wrap my head around this. Bruce Wayne is funding Batman. Nobody can put two and two together that he is Batman.
To get five.
Fuck.
Well, no, I don't think anyone's going to be able to put together that Damien's, Robin's dead and Damien's for some reason gone missing.
Yeah,
what's that, but...
Yeah, Batman comics. Whatever, I had to try. I mean, the writing's good, the art's okay. I don't know what else to say. It's a DC comic. They haven't been doing too well in my eyes lately. Dial H is a kind of an interesting book of theirs. Have you guys ever read that?
No.
Okay, well, when I was a little kid, they used to have this book called Dial H, and they've brought it back in the New 52, and it's a lot more mature than it was back in the day. Like, they used to just, you dial H, and you become a superhero, right? But it was always like these silly knockoff, you know, like a dude's on a pogo stick, and the pogo stick can jump 4 miles at a time. You know, there's your superpower. But you get all that in an 8-page story back in the day. Now they've wrung it out to, like, I don't know, about 11 issues. And I guess the last time this guy dialed, he took the Flash's powers. So they're like, if you've got the Flash's powers, where's the Flash? So he takes off. He's like, I can't find him. But he can't slow down either because he's got the Flash's powers. So that'll be...
So is it the same guy every time?
Yeah, some fat dude. And there's some old lady that's got a dial or... She's been using it, I'm not sure. I read the first couple issues of this run, and I thought, interesting. It had cool art.
And is it typical DC boring? Sorry, not boring, but depressing?
No, I don't think so. It's so far out there, like, it doesn't really connect with anything else, I don't think. Do you know what I mean? Like, all the Batman titles kind of connect together, all the Superman titles connect together, and then even again, those going to connect again with Justice League, right, of any incarnation. But this is just, they try to take a novelty idea and make it serious. And it's kind of working. I got to give him props for that. It's a very smart book. Anyways, okay. Let's talk about something else. DC Comics, goddammit. You guys got another pick?
Well, actually, one of my picks is a DC comic that I read the other day. And I quite enjoyed it. It's Animal Man 19.
Good one.
Which is, one of the What the Fuck issues, well, even though they took the brand in.
What the Flashpoint.
What 52? What 52?
I'm not sure. They're bringing back all this Flashpoint stuff, if you guys hadn't noticed.
they've got an animated film as well.
I think that's what that WTF was supposed to stand for, is what, the Flashpoint.
All right. But, so Rotworld is finished now, because it seemed to last forever, because there was a lot of build-up to it, and then the actual Rotworld story lasted, like, 6 or 7 issues. This is kind of an epilogue issue to it, because it's the funeral to Buddy Barker's kid, who I've actually just forgotten the name of. What was it?
Cliff.
Yes, Cliff.
Yeah, Clifford Barker. It's his funeral issue, and it involves... It's quite a good issue, actually, because Steve Pugh's not really very subtle with how he's showing how his characters are feeling, but since there's a lot of emotion going on, it kind of works in this issue, because with the facial expressions he's doing, because there's like a scene when Clifford's wife is angry with him, and she actually says she's leaving him. Mm-hmm. So apparently they're getting a divorce, which is going to be interesting for Animal Man, because so far Jeff Lemire has done quite a family-centric book, and then if his wife's divorcing him, then it's going to be interesting to see where that goes in the future. And then it's really not looking good for Buddy Barker, because he flips out on some paparazzi, like pretty much literally goes ape on him, mm-hmm. and turns into like some creature thing as he shouts at him, which was a pretty cool scene. And then the issue finishes with the Red cutting him off from the connection, so he's no longer connected to the Red like he's been for the past
I think he is, he just issues. Can't communicate with it now, do you know what I mean, like he can't,
yeah because he says like he's alone, he's still got the powers of Animal Man, he just can't call on them for help when he needs it, they have to choose when they help him. But I'm kind of hoping Animal Man for a little bit. It's just going to be like
a superhero comic.
That's what I was looking for, actually. Just like some good Animal Man stories, because mm-hmm. we've had like the crossover now with Swamp Thing, which was cool. A little dragged out, but it was cool. Now we just need some good Animal Man superhero stories, which I think from like the last couple of pages, him being in his superhero costume, we might get now.
Oh yeah, because they say go play superhero. He's like, what the hell?
Yeah.
I can feel the powers, but I can't hear you guys anymore. What the hell? Yeah, I enjoyed it too, man. I was tried to drop it this issue because I was like, Rotworld's over. I can't take any more of this emo fucking moping around, yada yada. Because it was a lot of that, especially in his book.
Yeah,
he can take it from Swamp Thing because it's all, I was a man and now I'm a plant who wants to be a man and grow some horns. But yeah, I really hope he does kind of change the direction of this book a little bit into a superhero style, because that's Animal Man to me. And I was hoping that's where they would start off, but they kind of didn't, you know? They had more of a horror aspect to this book, I thought, in the beginning.
Mm. Especially when Trevor Fallman was on that.
Oh, yeah, man. I guess he's doing the annual, I heard?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. That should be pretty cool. Yeah, man. If he's coming back for the annual.
Weird. Yeah, good book, man. I enjoyed it too. I guess I'm going to keep going with that one. Any more DC Comics out there?
I bought Action Comics 19. I've not finished it. That's not for the fact I haven't enjoyed it. Like, I'm out halfway through. Just I had to do something. I just put it down and didn't bother to pick it back up. Right. But I've come to the realization that I probably don't hate Superman as much as I did before. I just don't think I all that much enjoy his comics. Because I enjoy the film. I enjoy Superman 1 and 2. Superman 3 can burn in hell.
And 4.
I hate that film so much.
I prefer 3 over 4.
I hate the Richard Pryor rubbish in Superman 3.
It's not funny.
I don't care if Richard Pryor's a great comedian. He's not funny in that film. It's awful.
You're right.
I wish it didn't. But this Superman... I enjoyed the art for the most part. Tony Daniel. And
really?
I've seen people just complaining that, you know, like for the next issue where he's going to be doing both the writing and the art, that when he's done both, it usually starts to, you know, like slip. It's the quality of one or the other will slip, which really can only really be expected when you have to do both parts. But will I read the next Action Comics? I think it's basically pretty much, if it's not Batman, I will probably just keep away from DC for the most part.
I'm trying to buy everything but Batman over there.
I've heard quite a few people say that issue 19 was really good, and which makes it hurt even more that it's pretty much the only issue Andy Diggle is going to be writing.
Yeah, bizarre. Whatever happened there? The editorial, they have control.
It's Bob Harris.
Well, can't knock Bob Harris. Too bad, because he's been in a lot of stuff. He's got references, man. Like, you look at his resume, and he's brought a lot of success to Marvel back in the 90s.
What's going on at DC now is quite similar to what happened at Marvel in the 90s, though, with creators leaving due to editorial conflicts. So,
which is not something that we ever really heard about back then, because I didn't have the internet. All we had was Wizard magazine, and pretty lacking in information. That was just a promo rag after a while.
I think it's funny as well. Just after after this Daniels and story, I suppose I can hardly call it a run. I think everybody's favorite Scott Lobdell is taking over for at least one issue. Now, I don't have any problem with him because I haven't read any of his books, but I've seen some of the reactions to the news of him doing that, and it did make me laugh.
The guy's kind of a dick. Like, in real life, I don't know. Like, I followed him on Twitter for a little while, and I couldn't handle him. He's just a dick, in my opinion.
I've never read anything he's written. I don't.
Age of Apocalypse. I guess that was his idea.
Oh yeah,
back in the day. I don't know. I just heard that. I could be wrong. I'm not a fan of his either, especially after he attacked Ron Mars on Twitter. Anyways, I don't know, man. DC Comics, they're going to get their shit together soon, I think. Hopefully.
I doubt it.
I doubt it, too. We'll see what happens. But, I mean, their numbers are dropping, and they got to do something, man. They got to do something. I know they have this Trinity War coming up. I don't know anything about it. I've seen a picture of, pretty much everybody in the DC Universe fighting each other. And then...
It was the three Justice League teams, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then there's, in the middle was the chick with the purple hood. I can't remember what her name is. Pandora?
Oh, Pandora, yeah.
Go. What is she? She's, Darkseid's daughter?
The thing with Trinity, I think she might be. The thing with Trinity War is when the free comic book day issue came out last year, I was I had a mild interest with it, but by this point, when it's going to start, I don't really care that much, because I was reading Justice League and Justice League Dark, and I dropped Justice League because I wasn't enjoying it, and I dropped Justice League Dark for financial reasons. So I'm not really interested in it anymore. Well, the Trinity War.
It's ridiculous as well. They're going to have an ongoing. Well, I don't know if it's an ongoing, but for Pandora, and I think the Question as well. Just characters that just for whatever reason, let's just give it them just because you've got a story, an event coming up. Does anyone? Because from what I see, nobody really cares about Pandora at this point.
No, she's kind of a footnote now. Everybody's seen her as the back door to get out of Flashpoint, but...
Yeah, and she was in that for all the first issues, and apart from that, nobody cares.
Yeah, basically. She was in the backup for Justice League in the early parts too, right? That's where you find out she's Darkseid's daughter, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, it was one of the early ones, I think.
Right. Okay. Let's go Bizarro here and pick an Image comic.
I know which one.
East of West? Did you guys read that at all?
Yeah, I read that yesterday.
I like the art. It's Nick Jurgoda. I'm not sure what else he's written. I think he did some Wolverine and the X-Men, maybe?
He did some FF with Hickman.
That's what it was. Yeah, man, I don't know. Kind of cool. When I first opened this book, I was like, this is too much reading, I can't, so I put it down. And I give it a week, and I come back to it, and wow, not bad. Nice little setup. The four horsemen of the apocalypse are coming along to kick some ass, cowboy style, apparently. I don't know what to say about it it's just started.
It is one of those books you've got to, sit down and, read properly.
I will be happy to get all the issues together at once and then read them. It'll make a lot more sense as to what's going on. Because from the sounds
of it. Everyone says that about Hickman.
Well, yeah, it's true. His stuff reads better in a trade. I think he learned that from Bendis. Because even Bendis, man, his stuff reads better in a trade. That's why they're double shipping all old X-Men, like, every second week.
All old X-Men, okay. Because, yeah, it felt like there was a new issue every week.
Mm-hmm. And the first, it was weekly. Now I think it's bi-weekly. But it reads better that way. I mean, every time I get a new issue, I'm not, like, what happened last time? Because I still remember what happened last time. Like, that's what I used to do with Ultimate Spider-Man. I'd let them stack, you know, because I'd be confused. I'd be like, what the hell happened last? Whatever, throw it to the side. And then read four or five in a row and be like, oh, okay, yeah, good stuff. Ultimate Spider-Man, good. Back then, it was good anyways. I haven't been following him lately. The old Miles Morales. It's good. Is it good still?
It's good.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyways. Yeah, East of West was kind of neat for Image Comic. They were on a roll there for a while. I don't think they're doing the same anymore, though. I mean, everybody's kind of hanging on to The Walking Dead or Saga. What else they got?
Fatal.
Fatal. Yes, I'm still buying that, too. Which also reads better in a trade. Ooh, another good one there. Yeah.
They're like the main ones I read.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know if there's any others.
Yeah, nothing I can think of off the top of my head.
Eric, have you heard what's going on with Secret?
It's delayed. Big time.
Well, they're going to release issue 3, and then that's pretty much it. It's done after that.
Oh, really?
I think Hickman said issue 3's done, but you can't expect people to like still buy it with the delay being as long as it is. So they're going to get issue 3 out. It might be a bit thicker than an average issue, and then that's pretty much it. Yeah,
isn't it in the back of one of the Manhattan projects where he explains what's going on with Secret? Like, he doesn't...
It might be.
I think. Yeah, because I remember hearing something about that it was really delayed, and he was, like, really sorry.
Mm.
Yeah, it's too bad. I was just flipping through my books the other day, and I seen the issues of Secret I had, and I'm like, oh, yeah, this fucking book. But that's...
It's a shame, because I enjoyed it as well.
So I was like, where's this going? It's kind of creepy. Ass. Oh, my God, did you fall over?
No.
Oh, okay.
Just moving slightly.
Okay, so do you read any Image Comics, Kyle?
The only one that I actually read is Saga.
And do you enjoy it? At the moment. Do you enjoy it?
Yeah. It's just how weird it gets sometimes. Mm-hmm. Some of the weird imagery is like a few issues ago they had that giant, and then some giant naked giant with some sort of genital wart.
That shit's awesome.
His warts are bigger than his wiener.
I feel, because when I'm coming home after buying the books, I can't read, I want to read Saga, but I can't read it on the bus, because then I just feel awkward.
That's funny, man.
It's kind of like a HBO comic book series, isn't it, with some of the stuff they do in it. Like, they get away with the nudity and some of the graphic, and that somewhat as well with the little girl who's like 7 and she's part of like a sex cartel. That's like all right, this is a little awkward, but it's really good though. It's such a good comic.
It is pretty out there, man. Like, I still buy it. It's funny, when I moved to my new comic shop, I was like, yeah, you gotta add Saga to my profile. He's like, Saga's over. I'm like, no, it's not. He's like, yeah, dude. Like, listen, man. I was kind of getting mad at him. I was like, don't argue with me, dude. Because, you know, I give him half my list. He's like, oh, you already qualify for the 25% discount. I'm like, so you're telling me you're not gonna be able to keep up with all my titles? Oh, yeah, we will. Well, lo and behold, they're having a hard time keeping up with all my titles. Anyways.
I'd get rid of him.
What am I supposed to do, man? I'm not going back to waiting every month for my comics.
Digital.
And it's nice to walk into a store and have somebody go, hey, Eric, how's it going? And he hands me my books before I even look at the shelf. I'm like, this is cool. Like this. So, yeah, Saga is a good book. Right, Maya? Yeah. All right.
What kind of... I don't think Maya should be reading. Right.
What's your favorite comic, Maya? My Little Pony? Yeah.
Aww.
And Wonder Woman, too? You like my comics too? Yeah. Except for these ones, right? Because they say Avatar Press?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
No, you don't like that. Okay, now you go play.
I like that one.
Thanks, Maya. I like it. All right. That's another regular appearance, my daughter. Go play. Thanks. Okay, anybody else got a... We've almost filled an hour here. I got one more book I'd like to talk about. And it's...
Yeah, you've got... Yeah, it's one. It's a book I want to read as well. I haven't read yet.
Number zero, man. Kieron Gillen? Is that how you pronounce
it? Yeah.
Okay, now here's a writer I did not dig his Marvel stuff at all. Not at all.
Oh, blasphemy. Blasphemy.
And I don't like Matt Fraction either. Don't throw rocks, okay?
I would if I could. No, I'm joking.
I guess William Christensen, the guy who's editor-in-chief or whatever over at Avatar, asked to set up a Bible for this series. And I guess he did. And then when you get to the back of this book, like, it's pretty good. It's, you know, it's World War II. It seems like the Nazis have just lost or something. And meanwhile, they've been working on this Ubermensch program, I guess. So it's giving superpowers to these dudes. And anyway, so in the back here, he writes a little note. And this is what changed my mind for Kieron. He's like, in the end, I didn't want to write a book about superhumans. I wanted to write a book about humans and the relationship with power. I hope you find it fascinating and compelling. I hope you don't enjoy it. Thank you for reading. I was like, oh, nice. Pretty good, man. The art's magnificent in this Avatar comic. I was super impressed. Lots of adult themes. I mean, it starts off, people are getting raped. I mean, it's...
Oh, lovely.
Oh, not too graphic, but when the people with the power start showing up, that's when it gets kind of interesting, you know, and it's almost a mystery at the same time. I highly recommend, man, if you...
Yeah, I've got it on order from Forbidden Planet. It's probably only going to get here next week, though.
What cover did you get? The wraparound?
Yeah, I got the wraparound one, yeah.
Yeah, the back's better than the front. All the gore's on the back. You know me and my gore.
I don't think I've read an Avatar comic yet, but I want to read it because I'm a huge Kieron Gillen fan. Mm. And speaking of Kieron Gillen,
okay,
the next book I wanted to talk about, if we could segue. Yeah, it's like, okay, Eric, are you done?
Brother man. Well,
no, the next book I wanted to talk about was Young Avengers because it's one of my favorite titles right now because it's Kieron Gillen and Jamie McKelvey, and I love Jamie McKelvey's art. And Loki's got the Young Avengers back together, and this time he's got Marvel Boy with him. They're not really a team yet, three issues in. It's still kind of like forming, but Wiccan has summoned like this being from another dimension, and it's turned everyone's parents against the Young Avengers. And this issue involves Loki's father, the Frost Giant.
Really cool.
Takes on Wiccan, Hulkling, and young Loki, and then Miss America comes along and saves them all. And then her parents come along, and there's like this whole thing like you need to behave and stuff, and then they teleport away. And it has another scene in a diner because, oh wait, no, this time it's in the nightclub. Usually it's in the diner because I think Gillen's got a thing with diners and bacon butties. But they go to a nightclub and they're just chilling and stuff, and then the parents come up at the end, even though they're all like possessed and shit. And then the thing with these Young Avengers comics is the fight scenes, how Gillen and McKelvey are doing them, I think they're pretty much Marvel style, where McKelvey just does like these really unique layouts where he'll put like about 10 or 12 panels on a double page spread, and it'll just be like each panel will be like a punch and a kick, and it looks really good, and no two look the same. And I'm really enjoying it. I'd like these two as a creative team, and it's a cool book.
I tried the first issue and I was like, this isn't my cup of Joe. I don't know what it was. Like, I enjoy the art immensely. Like, as a great artist. Yeah, I don't know what it is, man. For me, anyways. Everybody else seems to like it. Maybe it's my Marvel Batman book, Young Avengers. Just can't bring myself to like it. Do you read it, man? Kyle?
Pretty much everything that you said is pretty much the same. But I enjoy it, but I wish it just, you know, move a bit faster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does need to move a bit faster. I will admit to that.
Crazy. Okay. You got another one there, Kyle?
I think last one. Journey into Mystery. And...
your own right.
People still read that.
I enjoy it a lot. Okay, it's what's Catherine I can't say the name.
Oh yeah,
Catherine Immonen. Right. And I'm not going to try and say the artist's name, but I enjoy it a lot. Maybe it's because I think Sif is awesome. But the whole since it, which is basically their relaunch instead of giving it a new number one, it's just been basically Sif have been going crazy. She basically wants to fight, but Asgard's always crumbling, and she doesn't think it should be that. Basically, should be happening. So she goes and meets this. See, this is the worst explanation of all time. This woman puts on this berserker's curse, which makes her want to fight even more. But the main thing that I do enjoy about it is the art. It is a beautiful book, for the most part. The art is more of a cartoon, more bright colours and things like that, compared to darker ones, just more bland-looking ones like... See, whenever I need one off the top of my
Alex
head, I can
have
a name. Let's go for that, but I like Alex Maleev's art. I think maybe because of Moon Knight, which I wish was still around. But whatever. But yeah, I didn't bother reading Journey into Mystery before, mainly because anything Thor related bugged me for some reason. I'll get around to it eventually.
You both should read Kieran Gillen's Journey into Mystery run. It's really good.
I don't know, man.
I enjoy Loki in Young Avengers now, but
yeah,
you know, just
that's cool.
On a constant basis, like, no, I just can't bother. I think it stems back from the theory self-tying, which I know isn't very fair on the book, but I read it back then. I was like, nah, I just don't want this anymore.
Interesting. I never got into Journey because Fraction was writing Thor at the time? Oh, I can't remember.
I think so.
He turned me right off of Thor, man. I was like, damn it, I really like this.
It's really... Fraction's actually the writer who introduced Kid Loki in his, I think it's World Eaters arc, the first Thor arc he did. And I actually didn't like Kid Loki as a character whilst Fraction was writing him, but as soon as Gillen took over him in Journey into Mystery, I really liked him.
I've heard this.
And I like him as a character now, because I like how Gillen likes him. How Gillen writes him, that is.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. This new Thor book is amazing, though. I'll give it that much.
Yeah, Jason Aaron's book is pretty good.
Yeah, pretty impressive, especially after his Hulk run kind of dudded out. I mean, I think it was all, set up for Mark Waid's run, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a little wild and crazy, and a lot of people didn't like it. Because he does that... Grindhouse style a lot, you know, and he kind of tried to apply it to Hulk and it didn't work, but I don't know what style he's using on Thor, except for it's awesome. Like, wow, what is it, Thor in three different times all fighting the same guy? Like, how cool is that, man? Pretty cool,
man. I didn't just when I heard that and I saw the art, I was like, nope, not interested.
Really?
Sorry, Thor. Oh, don't care.
The art's amazing, and I saw it. That's me though. I mean, everybody's different, right? Okay, these guys are getting loud over here. Okay. Anybody got one more book at all?
No, I need. I'm free ready.
Yeah, I think I'm done too, man.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. Mm-hmm.